Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
KOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us on board. Kevin is in the house. Well, this is where you jump in and say hi.
Right now?
Oh, brother. It's going even worse than I thought it would.
Oh, come on.
Kevin's here to talk about the high school playoffs.
I am, but I'm still compiling things at the moment.
Still compiling things? You've been compiling this list since May.
Well, things change.
You had the playoff breakdown in May, for goodness sakes. Now, out of nowhere, you need time to compile.
I have to compile everything, get everything squared away.
Squared away?
Well, everybody's playing everybody now. It was easier earlier on when you could just project things.
Who told you that way back when?
Yeah, I just left the door right open for you. You owe me one.
I mean, who left that door open? Who told you to wait?
Bob Buehner.
No, Buehner didn't do that. Buehner didn't do that. Nope.
Well, actually, the confusing part is when you mix AA and AAA teams together, as we have this week.
Yeah.
That makes it a challenge.
That makes it a challenge. But didn't you figure that in when you put this together?
Did I what now?
Didn't you figure this in when you put this together?
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no.
See, here's the problem.
Oh, here we go.
You get so many points for a win. Then you end up getting a few bonus points if it's a double A team that beats a triple A team.
You don't get those bonus points if you're a triple A team beating a double A team.
Then you throw in the single A teams who get more bonus points if they've been a triple A team.
So this is a mathematical equation somewhere near trying to figure out quarterback rating.
You told Bob Buehner and me, with complete confidence,
right,
several weeks ago, when you tried to criticize us and then thought you, of course, had all this backing that your criticism would be supported, only to find out that people backed us.
That's only because you paid them.
There was no need. Logic wins out over cash every time. That we said you should wait. You said that an eighth seed could have two losses.
An eighth seed could have two losses at that point.
And now you're taking into account they're playing each other.
Well, now, yeah.
Hey, listen.
Weren't you warned of that when I talked to you about this weeks ago?
All right. You are the all-knowing and seeing Steve.
I didn't say that, but I try to bring some common sense to the show.
There's a mistake right there.
I think it's worked on the show so far.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm getting a little echo, so give me a stretch for a little bit. Will you?
Now I have to stretch. Okay, ever since we started in February, Steve stretch. Well, Penn State will play Purdue Saturday. That'll be at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. They're expecting about 37,000 for that game on Saturday. That means they'll have 25,000 empty seats for the game, which Tim Newton talked about. Tomorrow we'll take a little bit closer look at the game. Lauren Crispell, who works sidelines on the Penn State Sports Network with Jack Hamm and me, will join us on the show. First time we've had LC on the show. Talk to him about his role, what he does. Also take a look at the Penn State basketball exhibition weekend coming up. Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report. The Giants will play the Steelers on Sunday. So we'll get Tony on to talk about the Steeler perspective heading into that game, which I find to be absolutely fascinating, the way the Steelers come back. And also, and Sarah doesn't like to hear this, but let's face it, the problems at Baltimore have changed the Steelers' fortunes and their season. We'll talk to Tony about that. Brian Scott, the safety of the Buffalo Bills, will be joining us on tomorrow's show as well. A couple things I want to talk to B. Scott about. Playing in the NFL, his Penn State experience, but also because, let's face it, when you play for the Buffalo Bills, you last year played Bill O'Brien in New England twice, and you did it on the defensive side of the ball. So the question is, how do you, as a defensive player, how do you work against this Bill O'Brien offense? So we'll talk about all that and more tomorrow with B. Scott. Brian will join us from Buffalo on the show tomorrow. Have I killed enough time for you to find a gear?
Yeah, thanks.
Fabulous. All right, so lay it out. What do we have?
Well, now, hang on. I still have an audio issue on this end, so bear with me a minute.
You know how many days I dreamed about this scenario coming up. Now he gets to the point where, you know, we'd like to get some information out of him. Now he has the audio issue. All right. 1-800-795-9565. If you don't have an audio issue, we'd love to hear from you.
Listen, you don't know how much
I hate this situation, so let's go to a break for a minute. I hate doing this on the air.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Thanks.
You know, here's a piece of advice, okay? I know that you feel it's really neat to buy on eBay discount old Soviet Union audio equipment, headphones, things like that.
But it's so cheap.
We have great sponsors that sell really great stuff. Try them, because the stuff you have to hit it on the side all the time because it's made in the old Soviet Union. It only understands force. Today's show being brought to you by someone I would never force you to go to but would strongly recommend you see because he will take very good care of you financially. Rick Weibel. Rick's a good man. The number of times I've been around Rick, just you want to deal with somebody with intelligence, class, and caring all at the same time. That's Rick. Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. That's 800-609-9484. Or visit online at rewfinancial.com. I'll tell you right now, one of the great things about getting involved in the show and getting involved in the community that is the Valley as deeply as we've been able to get involved with so far is being around people like Rick Weibel. It means a lot. Hopefully you can give him your patronage because you know what? In the end, it's going to help you. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors.
Are you finally straightened out?
I believe so.
Yes, we're back and rolling.
I'm feeling much more comfortable now.
In the end, isn't that what it's all about? Exactly. Your personal comfort?
It's all about me.
Roger warned me of this.
Yeah, well, you didn't listen, did you?
No. All right, so get to it. You've had all this time to finally put it together in no uncertain terms. Go ahead.
Well, here's what you have in AAA. Things are pretty much set right now. It's just the point of where everybody is going to fall into place. AAA taking the top four teams. So you have Selins Grove as a lock for the number one seed. Shikellamy, Milton right now are the number two, three, with Shamokin the four. East Juniata, 100 points behind, appears to be on the outside looking in of the District 4 AAA. But here's where things get interesting. Tomorrow night's game here on WKOK between Shikellamy and Milton, both 5-4 teams that are 2-3 seeds, will play again no matter what next week. That will be week one of the playoffs. It's just a point of, will it be at Milton or will it be at Shikellamy? And the way the points are going to fall would be the winner would actually host next week's game as the two seed. So it's not one of those games where you can hold back anything. If you want a home game, and everybody wants a home game, Steve, for playoffs, you have to give everything you have now and leave it all out on the table. So you can't hold back even though you're going to play him right away, you know, and another week later. Have you ever been in one of those situations? I mean, you've been in basketball, I would imagine.
Yes, I have. I've done back-to-back games at the end of a season, Indiana as an example. Penn State, in fact, beat Indiana here, then lost to them in the tournament. So I've been in that situation twice in my career where it's been a back-to-back game going from regular season to playoff.
Now, single A is pretty set up where it is with Southern Columbia leading the way, and doesn't look like anything's really going to change there. The four seeds are the ones that everybody expected. But let's look at double A, because double A is the one I was talking about a few weeks ago, Steve, that just looked like it was going to be a disaster if you were three games down. As it would appear, 5-4 right now is a 7-8 seed. However, where you place in that top eight is going to really depend on how things fold with teams that are in the top four right now. Central Columbia is the number one seed at the moment. They take on Bloomsburg. Now, that game is a game that Central Columbia will not get a ton of bonus points for because of it being a smaller school size-wise. Danville will get some bonus points. They're a double-A school playing a triple-A school in Selins Grove. So Danville, with a win and a Central Columbia loss, could vault themselves into the number one seed, which gives them, theoretically, a little bit easier game. Then you look down on the list a little further. Lewisburg right now is a three seed taking on Mifflinburg, a game Lewisburg does appear that they will win. That would give them a home game. Athens is 8-1. They're pretty much a lock for a home game as well, unless Troy can get something going and get a little help. Because yeah, Troy right now is your five seed. This is where it gets confusing because those northern tier teams are really, really tough to judge.
Yes, they are.
I mean, that's not a slight of the northern tier teams.
I agree with what you're saying. No, I know what you're saying.
It's just really tough to judge how those records are and how they'll play out. Here's where it gets interesting, though. Remember I was talking about Mount Carmel-Montoursville a few weeks back? Montoursville beats Mount Carmel in just an amazing game that seemed to take forever. Well, Montoursville's sitting right now as the sixth seed. Mount Carmel is the seven, and Loyal Sock is the eight. Loyal Sock and Montoursville play each other Friday night. So Loyal Sock should be okay as an eight seed, but they could actually vault higher with a win. Mount Carmel seems pretty solid as a seven seed. They will not drop out of the playoffs. But again, a win for them over Shamokin, which is a AAA school, and some bonus points, and some help from Loyal Sock could put them in a little bit better place where they wouldn't have to play a Danville or a Central Columbia out of the gate.
And, of course, this all depends on bracketing, too. You talk about the 4-5 seed. What's bad about being the 4-5 seed, which you're talking about in the case of Shikellamy and Milton, correct?
Right. In essence, because they're a 3-4 game, a 2-3 game in a 4-team bracket.
Right.
Same thing.
You worry about then the next thing you'll be able to play one.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's exactly right. And then Shamokin, who is coming off the loss to Shikellamy, will take on Mount Carmel. And I'm trying to think. We were talking about this last week on the broadcast. I don't think that Shamokin has beaten Mount Carmel for the coal bucket probably in a decade.
Right.
So it's going to be an uphill climb for Shamokin to improve their situation. Matter of fact, I don't think they can improve their situation as they're looking at 200 points as opposed to Milton right now sitting at 480. The biggest thing in AAA is where that second playoff game is going to be, whether it's going to be at Milton or it's going to be at Shikellamy. But Shamokin definitely has an uphill climb if they want to repeat as District 4 AAA champs.
What about the weather at this time of the year? Obviously, we've gone through a bad weather week, but I mean, things get colder and so forth. This is not going to be the normal situation, obviously, you face. You get to the month of November. Have you seen some styles change over time because of the conditions?
Not only because of the conditions, but because of injuries. I mean, there's a lot of teams right now that are making adjustments, including Shikellamy, due to injuries. Last week, Garrett Kemberly injured on the second play of the game. Their quarterback, who's been more of a wildcat than a quarterback, he can play running back, he's played wide receiver, he's played quarterback. Odds are he will not play, although we don't know officially until tomorrow night whether he will or won't play, but it looks like he wouldn't play tomorrow night. So Shikellamy has to change things up a little bit. Some of the versatility they had in offense may not be as able to be used in a game like this. But when you look at the weather alone, with everything being as slick as it is, teams that run the ball, I mean, and I mean these fields are slick. I was out on one today, and boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to take a couple of days of dry weather before these regular grass fields get into a comfortable situation. But teams that are playing on grass fields that run the ball are definitely going to have an advantage here this week, especially.
And that's what we're looking at. Give me an idea, you know, now the Shikellamy-Milton matchup is going to be at?
That's at Shikellamy.
At Shikellamy. What kind of conditions has that field been in?
Well, I was just down there today, and I'll tell you what, it's rough. There's muddy spots. There's, you know, as you would expect the high school field
now,
to be by
now,
week 10.
Do they practice on that field?
They don't, but there is a lot of events that go on that field, including youth football. So there's a lot of football that gets played there.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. Like, for example, the Heinz Field where the Steelers play, they have a lot of games that
exactly.
take place that people don't know about or realize.
And then they start to play some WPIAL games out that way, too, toward this part of the season. I think the big thing right now for teams to deal with, and especially these teams that are on the bubble of not only making the playoffs or maybe getting a home game, is the fact that really they haven't had an organized practice maybe until today. Might have gotten one in yesterday, but definitely not on Tuesday. That was an indoor practice for almost everybody. So you've gotten out of your rhythm a little bit.
Nah, but you know what? You get to this time of the year, you're cutting practice down anyway. You're not practicing as long. You're trying to keep legs fresh.
That's probably true.
I think you get to this time of the year, it is not as great an impact. In indoor practice where they're running around, running patterns and things like that, you're not going to hit much this time of the year. You're not going to go, you know, you're going to cut practice back. You're trying to think about the legs you need for the game, at least if you're a really good coach. You're thinking about legs about Saturday at this point. You've had so many repetitions, they should have it down by now.
You would hope by week 10, yeah. Well, there's another big game in that doesn't have any necessarily playoff implications for the district, but for the Heartland Conference in Division I, and that's Danville and Selinsgrove. Both teams have not lost in the conference. They'll face off at Selinsgrove. Field conditions won't be a problem there because Selinsgrove has turf. And I'm sorry, I'm going to correct that. That's at Danville this week. I'm sorry. So their weather will have an effect there because there's a grass field at Danville. So, right. Again, an advantage for the team that's used to running on the grass fields on the wet conditions.
Right. So that's what, you know, you have to be worried about that at this time of the year. Now, the weather this weekend looks like it's going to break pretty well anyway. So Friday night looks okay.
Yeah, Friday night doesn't look like it's going to be a problem. But as I said, and driving around a little bit this week and seeing some of the field, there's a lot of standing water, a lot of places, and it's going to take a couple of days before things dry out. As a matter of fact, a lot of schools have canceled their junior high games for tonight because mm-hmm. they don't want to take a chance on messing up the field for Friday night's game.
All right, so now you get to this is the regular season finale this weekend.
Correct.
All right, then they'll play again next week, Milton and Shikellamy will.
Right.
It depends on who wins the game as to where the game is.
Exactly. If Shikellamy wins, it'll be a home game for the Braves. If Milton wins, the Black Panthers will host Shikellamy in Milton at Alumni Field. And, you know, as much as you talk about it, you know, maybe home field advantage doesn't have the same impact as far as crowd noise as it does in the college level. But I can tell you one thing. High school players, especially seniors, want a chance to play one more time at home and one more time in front of their home crowd. Because odds are you're not going to get another home game in the playoffs. This would be your only home game. You're playing in a 4-team bracket. And whether you're the 2 or 3 seed, unless Shamokin were to pull off an upset over Selinsgrove, which is possible, you wouldn't get another home game. So that's why I think there's a lot at stake here in this particular game. And I know Coach Todd Tilford is not looking past this to maybe not put a few plays in the playbook that he wants to save for the following week or maybe save a couple of guys for the following week. He's planning to win this game this week.
Well, look, I think you have to, okay? Let's take it to a pro level. I know we have news coming up here. Let's take it to a pro level for a moment. One of the big reasons the Giants won Super Bowl 42, in my opinion, is that when they played the Patriots, they played them all out, even though they didn't have to. I think when you hold back, you actually put next week's game in jeopardy because you do get out of rhythm.
I absolutely agree, and I don't think you're going to see Coach Goodwin or Coach Tilford do that tomorrow night.
I don't think it's the right move. I think it's been proven over time that I haven't seen a team yet
hold people back and win the next week. I haven't seen it, or else play well.
Information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WK. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. The all-seeing, all-knowing guru of high school sports.
Who or now, I make it up as I go along, whichever works best.
Who will now break down the 2016 high school playoff picture. Talk about luck. What other station looks that far into the future?
Nobody. Let's see, 2016, my kid's going to be a junior then. Still probably about 125 pounds playing guard. All right, I don't want to look at that far ahead. It's too depressing.
Yeah, well, and we'll be in another presidential election.
Not even think about that.
I know. Yeah, as if this one hasn't been fun enough. All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call Rick at 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. And also, we're the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And last but not least, the Lenape Solar Hotline, open at 1-800-795-9565. Now, the beginning next Friday, and you will be involved in this. Sarah, Kevin, and I are going to make all of our weekend picks for the NFL, college football, and selected high school games. Starting next week.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? You act like it's something to have fun with.
No. I'm just thinking ahead. How can I win this? That's all I'm worried about.
Well,
how can
you win?
That's all I'm really worried about.
Yeah,
here.
This is going to be fun.
Oh, sorry.
This was Sarah's idea. I love the idea. I think it's great. I think starting next week, we keep a running tab right to the end of the Super Bowl as to where we stand in all this. And then in the end, the winner, right, the restaurant of our choice, and then all of us go out.
I was going to say, are we going to have a little dog that each one of us gets to hold every week when we start saying who's in the lead?
You really are a sad individual.
I watch a little too much Fox NFL Sunday, maybe.
You watch way too much. You want to know how many pregame shows I watch every week?
Well, you watch Rebson, don't you?
No.
Well, technically, he's not a pregame show, though.
No, I'll watch Rebson postgame.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to remember, I watch Rebson all the time. I mean, I talk to Rebson all the time.
All right. I would say three.
No.
Well, your own.
I don't listen to what I'm saying.
Now, there's a surprise to me.
No, I don't watch any of them.
Why am I not surprised?
I watch College Game Day. I will watch Game Day when it's on. All right? Or else I'll listen to it on Sirius.
I've done that too.
But the pro ones, I don't watch one of them. I mean, when it was a half hour and it really previewed the games, I watched it. Okay, now there's a four-letter word to describe them, junk.
Well, now it's 45 minutes of pre-canned interviews.
It's nothing. Kenny Milton is one that gets it. Hi,
Kenny. Hey, Steve, I could not resist. I could not resist. When you made the comment about the all-knowing 2016 football broadcaster, and I've been calling in for weeks, and he hasn't been here, and I could not resist. I absolutely could not resist. It's a good thing for you guys. I don't have to drive far to get home. If I had to listen to you for 2 hours all the way home, I'd never hang up the phone.
So the short drive is actually in the end of plus for you, huh? Because you're really drawn into the show. I got it.
You know, the sad thing is, Ken, he's talking about 2016. I can actually come out with a couple of pretty good predictions because I've seen a lot of junior high football this year. So I can come up with a pretty good idea of who's going to be good.
Ken.
Well, I think Ken.
I find that statement to be sad beyond words. Just speak, Ken. unless it's something sarcastic, speak to me.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now I know how this works. Remember, I can't talk high school football to you because Lord knows I don't want to get Penn State in any more trouble.
What else can they do?
Sports Illustrated's article's already out. They can't write anything else.
You know, I'm not even gonna read that. When it said on the cover, collective guilt, I looked around and went, huh? Okay.
Well, you know, I had to call in. I'm listening to what my favorite time of the year is definitely the high school playoffs and all the way up until the state championships in Hershey. And I start to get myself into this mode where I'm following other districts and I'm keeping an eye on what some of the quad A schools are doing. And it just, I love it. You started talking a little bit about it, and I wanted to throw my hat in the ring. Now, if you guys are having a competition that involves dinner, I'm getting a piece of that, too.
Listen, I eat an awful lot, Ken, so be prepared.
Look, in the end, well, if her has to pay for it, I can tell you right now, it involves something with the Golden Arches.
Oh, no, forget it then. I'll
and
just
the dollar menu.
No, I can assure you he won't win.
That's terrible.
I can assure
right,
you he
Kevin.
Won't win.
Look, I wanted to break this down, and when I call next week, I'll have it. We'll break it down, the playoffs and all this other, but some really good games that I wanted to tap into you a little bit about. It doesn't have playoff implications, but you were talking about Danville Seelands Grove. I think that's an interesting game to see this week, actually.
I do too. Danville has been. Danville really impressed me a couple of weeks ago when they started really throwing the ball effectively. I think the only team that really shut them down in the running game was Central Columbia, and Central secondary is very, very good. Coach Hippensteel's done a nice job with that defense and brought them up together over the last several years. He was playing a lot of young players for so long. Now they're kind of growing up together, and they're starting to come into their own. But that's a very solid secondary, and I thought handled Danville very, very well. And then when they hit Shikellamy, I was very impressed with how well they threw the football. I mean, at one point, Baylor was 5 for 5 with 2 touchdowns in the first quarter of play, or in the first half, rather.
Well, I think offensively that's the key. I mean, we know they can run the ball. They have a pair of very good running backs. And if they are able to draw the linebackers off a little bit and throw the ball, they're going to be a dangerous team in that AA race. I got to tell you – growing up in Milton, I'm not a Lewisburg fan by any stretch of the imagination when it comes to rooting for their team, but I appreciate good football. I think with all the good teams in that AA race, Danville, Central, Montoursville is going to be a pain for people, Bloomsburg going to be, I think the one that's just going to kind of sit around and, in my personal opinion, beat everybody they get to play is going to be Lewisburg, and they just seem, in a very short period of time, to have gotten used to playing the best football at the end of the year. And I just like that team. I like the way they do things. And I, of course, like the Smith kid. I think he's an incredible football player on both sides of the ball. And I don't know. I just know you shouldn't be able to sleep your way through the playoffs anyway, but nobody in that AA playoff scene is going to be able to lose. Is going to be able to look ahead. That is a really solid field they're going to have there.
Well, how would you like to see, and with all due respect to other teams in the AA, I don't mean it that way, but wouldn't you like to see a Central Columbia Lewisburg rematch somewhere along the line where there's no lightning delay?
No, absolutely. No, and I was thinking exactly that. It'll be interesting to see how the brackets pan out, who's playing where, who's on which side of the bracket, to see exactly how some of those games are going to come together. No, by all means, I think that would be an incredible rematch. Just a lot of really good things there. And, in single A, I thought Southern was the invincible machine rolling along until the team up the road from them gave them fits here, in Central Columbia. Now I'm wondering, because Line Mountain always gives Southern Columbia a decent game in the playoffs, and they have knocked them off a time or two.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how interesting. Triple A is a lock. I'm sorry. I think Shikellamy beats Milton Hanley tomorrow, and then beats them again next week in Seelands Grove. My question for you is: will Seelands Grove go through the West? How does the Triple A statewide playoff scene break down?
That's a great question. I was trying to think about that. We were talking about that the other day. Shikellamy won it won the district 2 years ago and played out of the East because it was Clearfield that had to come in to Kent Memorial. And last year, Shamokin won. I thought Shamokin traveled west last year.
They did. I think
and had a win.
Boys.
Yeah, yeah. And they had a win, which really surprised the state, and because you look at their record did not look that impressive, but they had been on a really good winning streak there toward the end of the season and just continued into the playoffs. So I believe it is again a District 4 hosted tournament.
Okay.
So they would play out of the East, and that would bring in the Clearfield Dubois, and I think it's District 6, yeah.
Yes.
And
okay.
I'll tell you right now, Clearfield's a team that throws the football really well. They've changed under Tim Giannoco completely. They did so in the last 2 years. Even though they've changed quarterbacks this year, that is a football team that airs it out. They're very difficult to defend. And I think that there'd be a big problem.
And I think that's a big problem for any of the District 4 schools that match up with them, because I don't think there is any team in District 4 or in this, even in the Heartland Conference, that throws the ball as well as Clearfield does.
Yeah.
And like I said, I saw them 2 years ago, and they're night and day from that team.
No, and not only that, because when they use, for Tim Giannoco, for many, many years, Clearfield was a running football
right.
team. Run. He changed everything. And when he changed everything, he put it in a style a lot of teams in District 4 don't see.
No, and I agree with that. And they've become a team that's quite accustomed to being in the playoffs. I'm not sure how they're doing this year. As I said, I've started keeping
an eye on
them.
They're doing really well this year. They're having a big year.
So it's another possibility that they be in the state playoffs again. And
yes.
You know, when you start to play in those situations, you get used to it and you expect to be there. And that means something as well. One other thing, and I just wanted to bring this up, and then I'm going to let you guys carry on. I was having this discussion actually a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine who's an assistant athletic director in a local school district, and the subject had come up how a lot of other schools are turning over and finally putting out the money to put turf surfaces in because it is a different surface than what the old traditional AstroTurf that we probably knew about.
Right, State College has the surface you're talking about, field turf.
Yes, and that's becoming the popular thing. And again, I'm going to give you guys this to chew on a little bit. I know Milton's field is absolutely in horrid shape. Now, part of that is lack of maintenance. They really don't do a very good job of taking care of it year-round. But when you get into these conditions and you get a lot of teams playing on it, even the best-maintained fields get beat up. I know that school districts have bigger financial worries than that, but this is a sports show, and when you talk about what that can mean over the course of 20 or 25 years, I believe those fields are guaranteed. I just wonder how many more school districts we might actually see trying to put that kind of a surface in. You're seeing it more and more over the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. Out west, almost all of them play. Want some kind of turf surface. It's just something to chew on here.
I want to talk about that because I think you make a great point. Yeah. State College did this. It is an investment to put it in. Once you put it in, your maintenance is down. The only thing you worry about is it flattening it out, if it flattens out. That's something that I'd say 10 years ago, people wondered whether field turf would stand the test of time. It turns out it does stand the test of time. If you just do just minimal maintenance on it, make sure you keep the rubber pellets in it and so forth, and that's not a big investment to put it in there. It's something that can last you a long time. Now, the thing you do have to worry about, I think most sports are great on that. The only thing that you worry about that surface is if you have a high school program that is field hockey, they can't play on it. Field hockey cannot play on that turf. Field hockey needs to have traditional AstroTurf, and not only that, you have to wet the AstroTurf down. Now, why do you have to wet it down? The reason, you don't want the ball bouncing.
Right.
And that's the reason why the AstroTurf for field hockey has to be wet down. But if you have any other sport, whether it's soccer or lacrosse or football, you play on that kind of surface, and you'll get the most out of it down the road. And not only that, your abrasions compared to AstroTurf are down 90%. 90% fewer abrasions if you slide in this because it's softer, has give to it, And it allows you to slide across it without scraping yourself up. AstroTurf consistently scrapes people up. I mean, bad scrapes. Field turf, for the most part, doesn't do that. And the key is that through weather, it stands the test of time. Nebraska's had it. They have never replaced that field. Nebraska's
okay.
had it. They have never replaced that field at Nebraska. And I'm going out there next week. I see Ohio State put it in 7 years ago. They haven't replaced it. Michigan put theirs in, haven't replaced theirs. Indiana's had theirs. It's the 10th season they've been on that at Indiana. Now, the practice field at Penn State, the field turf practice field at Penn State's been out there for, I want to say 7 or 8 years now. The indoor and outdoor ones aren't even close to being replaced. They're in great shape. And those indoor ones at Haluba Hall get a lot of work on them. And I've had now Bill hasn't done a lot with them. Bill's practiced more on it this week than he has the entire season combined, literally. But Joe used it a lot. Joe used the Haluba a lot. Baseball uses it. Lacrosse uses Haluba as well to practice. I mean, there are a lot of people that use Haluba in wintertime to practice. So that field has had a lot of use on it. That field is in great shape. It is not worn down.
The big issue, Ken, and you touched on it, is the economics of it. I've talked to a lot of school board members that have looked into this over the years at different schools, and they find that if the warranty holds up and if everything holds up the way it should, if they don't break even, they may be a little bit ahead, but it takes about 15 years or so to get to that point. And that's where I think everybody gets a little scared. Although, again, I've heard different stories from different districts depending on what they were looking at.
Yeah, well, let me put it to you this way. After what happened here this week, if you were to play that game at Shikellamy on field turf tomorrow night, I can tell you right now you have no issue.
No, you're right.
No.
None.
No.
Zip. Zilch.
I've talked to kids from around here that have played on Bucknell surface, the Sealand Grove surface over at Shamokin, and they actually, most of them will say they would prefer to play on that as opposed to a natural surface because it's just so hard to keep. Schools this size, they don't have the personnel. It's so hard to keep a natural surface in decent shape. But, again, you'd have a really hard time convincing Joe Q taxpayer that putting out this $1 million to put this field in is going to pay off over the course of 20 years. They don't want to hear that right now, and I can understand that. However,
Todd Topher did tell me, though, feel free on the air to ask for someone who might be willing to sponsor the field, and they would name the field after them gladly.
Right. But State College is. State College did donations. Right, and part of what they did.
We always thought it would be neat, and I better hang up after this. I don't want to get in any trouble. We always thought it would be neat to, rename the stadium Hilton ConAgra Stadium like they do in the big time and let Chef Wernie put a brand-new facility in, but that's a joke, obviously. Hey, fellas, I'll talk to you next week.
And based on recent sales, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to refer to it as her field. All right, so
thanks, Ken.
Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We'll wrap up this broadcast extravaganza in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Bob in Lewisburg's been waiting. Hi, Bob. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Well, it's nice to be here. I'll be out at that Danville Seals Grove game doing that tomorrow. And I've seen Danville twice, and I was just not moved at all by what they have been able to do. Both the big running backs, Crow and Dressler, they couldn't do anything against Bloomsburg. They couldn't do anything against Central Columbia. So I'm not so sure who shows up tomorrow night.
Well, like I said, I thought that once you and I said this on the broadcast, I think if Shikellamy stops the running game or controls that running game, that they have a really good shot. Well, they did that. They controlled that running game, and Danville just said, okay, we'll start throwing the ball, and they did it very, very effectively. Cale Rice did a great job at the wing back position and the slot position, caught several passes, but they used their backs in a different way. They started using them, flaring them out of the backfield or running screen passes to them. It was a lot of high percentage throws that they were given West and Baylor, and really took advantage of every opportunity they had in the first half.
Yeah, if Baylor doesn't turn the thing over and throwing a few interceptions, I mean, he had them down against Bloomsburg, and he threw an interception on the 5-yard line, and Bloomsburg ended up taking the thing all the way back. So, again, I don't know if it's one of those cases where the big backs do well against mediocre teams, but the stronger teams that shut them down, put 8 in the box, they don't do so well. So I just think that Jones Grove is a little bit more of a rounded team.
Yeah, I would agree. Again, like I said, I think that's a very entertaining game. And you know, if you're going to go to a game and you don't know what other one to go to, that's going to be a very entertaining game. I think either one of those teams could win that game. I think the Selins Grove's defense has played very, very well all year long. And I think they're going to have a real good test, like I said, with Danville getting a little confidence in the passing game now.
Yeah, I'd look probably for Selins Grove to take that one. They've been on a roll. And in the meantime, you know, the only two games that I did against Danville, I lost both of them, so I don't know if I'm a...
I think it's you, Bob.
I may be in bad omen here.
I think it's you, Bob. But yeah, you'll have that game on CCN this week then.
Yeah, that game will be on CCN. We were going to do Milton Shikellamy, but that one was changed.
Well, that's all right. You'll have a chance to do it next week.
Yeah. All right, and to weigh in on that field turf stuff, most of these schools around here, I know Danville's talking right about it, about field turf right now. It's mostly all private donations.
Right, and I think that's the way you have to look at it. You have to see how many private donations you can get. And then if you get to a certain point, then maybe you can go to the school district and say, can you make up the difference? But I think private donations have to be the way to go. That's how they did it here in State College. They went with as many private donations as possible. And it turned out that they've used that field for virtually everything.
Ironically, when State College gets into the red zone, it's the Steve Jones red zone.
Well, I'm sorry, but you have to do things that the sponsor wants.
Yeah, and I've done it since my daughter plays field hockey. They do play field hockey down on that.
They do, but it's not preferred. How about that?
Yeah, I know. Well, we try to play as much as we can at Bucknell because of the field turf, or not the field turf, but the pitch, the regular pitch there, and. So it is a lot better to do it that way if you can play pitch. But none of these schools, even the Bloomsburg pitch, was a little bit different than field turf when we played up at Bloomsburg University.
Right. And, I mean, I'm just telling you what the preferable surface is, and I just know that from experience just in the games I broadcast.
Yeah, we did just trying to think. We did a game early at Shikellamy, and a lot of grass fields were having grub problems and skunks going out and digging up
the
grub.
Right.
And I know that has affected a lot of fields. So I don't think Shikellamy, as Kevin said, I don't think Shikellamy's track is very good at all.
Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate hearing from you from Lewisburg today. Kevin, great job as always.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure to be back with you.
Appreciate that. And tomorrow on the show... we'll have Lauren Crispell on the show, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Brian Scott of the Buffalo Bills. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com.